Public Radio News at 9:06.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Almost every year, the New Hampshire legislature debates whether to expand gambling offerings in the state. Each year, the bills look a little bit different. Some have proposed slot machines at existing racetracks, or the introduction of casinos, or allowing slots at the state's grand hotels and liquor stores. This year, there are two measures on the table. One bipartisan Senate bill calls for a large new casino with slot machines and gaming tables. A location isn't specified, but many expect it to be in the southern tier. A second bill from a House Republican aims for two smaller casinos, one in the south and one in the White Mountains. As these bills move forward, familiar arguments will be made about them, whether they help or hurt the state's economy, its budget, and its overall quality of life. But lawmakers have new factors to consider as well. First, more gambling options nearby. Maine now has two casinos. Massachusetts is on track to build three, and that's in addition to those already up and running in Rhode Island and Connecticut. And second, there's the election of Maggie Hassan as governor, who said she'd support a new casino for the Granite State. Today in The Exchange, will New Hampshire wager on gambling this year? We'll look at the pros and cons in light of these new developments. And let's hear from you. Should the state add casinos to its gambling options or not? What do you see as the possible benefits? What might be the costs? And how much does the expansion of gambling in nearby states change the picture? Give us a call. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org is the address. With me in studio, David Hess, Republican State Representative from Hooksett, a longtime anti-gambling critic. He's also a former state prosecutor. David Hess, nice to see you. Thank you for being
here.
Good
to be back, Laura.
Also with us, Steve Norton, Executive Director of the New Hampshire Center for Public Policy Studies. The center recently updated the facts and figures of a study on gambling here in the Granite State, and Steve will be looking at that. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thanks very much, Laura.
Joining us on the phone from Manchester, Lou D'Alessandro, Democratic State Senator from Manchester, a longtime proponent of expanded gambling. And Senator D'Alessandro, good to have you too. Thanks for your time.
Laura, it's always wonderful to be with you on this great, great American day.
Well, Steve, I want to start with you. Your organization looked at this in a just-the-facts kind of way recently, and I want to spend a couple minutes with you looking at what you found, Steve. First off, just like in real estate, the study looked at how important location, location, location is.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when the debate begins about gambling, it starts with whether or not there's a market for this type of activity. And the answer is yes, there is. In this part of the world, there's a hole where there have not been casinos or racinos developed. And the question then becomes, well, if there is a market, where are you going to maximize your revenues and gambling activity? And that's basically where the population is. That's why everyone thinks and sort of moves to the southern part of the state, because your access to the Boston population, the northern Massachusetts and western Massachusetts population. So location, you know, clearly matters.
You got to have people nearby who are going to go there
with discretionary income, who are going to spend it on gambling activities.
Right. So, all right, looking at the southern tier, but as you know, in the past, Steve, there have been proposals for the Grand Hotels. There's a proposal we'll talk about later for the White Mountains. There have been proposals for revitalizing the North Country. So what happens when you start to move away from that population base in the southern tier?
The capacity to have a large casino diminishes. So in other words, the farther away you get from population centers, the smaller the facility, the less the revenues are generated. Maine has demonstrated that even in some rural parts of the state, you can generate some gambling activity, just not the size and extent that the southern tier of New Hampshire or northern tier of Massachusetts could generate.
So how much do these casinos in Maine, two and three possibly coming in Massachusetts, how much, Steve, do these pull down expectations for anything that would be built in New Hampshire, large or small?
Yeah, well, you have to think in our models, we've looked at what happens with respect to Massachusetts, and any introduction of a casino in the northern side of Boston or western Massachusetts reduces the potential revenue by about 40%.
40%? Wow,
so
that's a lot.
You're competing for the same people, for the same activities.
Yeah. And last question for you, Steve, and I know there'll be a lot more that comes up as we talk throughout the hour. The other takeaway for me from your study is that there are a lot of unknowns as lawmakers approach this. You know, not only location, but how much to ask for in terms of revenue, who will come, what the social costs might be, lots of unknowns.
Yeah, absolutely. There's the issue of timing, the degree to which you can actually accomplish something in the next couple of years. Massachusetts, which began in 2011 in a competitive process, 2 years later still has not even had a license fee. And hasn't obviously developed casinos. There's the question of tax rates. What's going to happen? Are they high? Are they low relative to what's going on in the other markets? Can you actually get someone to put $450 million into New Hampshire or northern Massachusetts to create a casino? These are all, you know, obvious questions that are going to play out over the next 2 or 3 years.
And you have to be careful at what rate you set those tax rates and license fees, right, Steve? Because,
right.
You know, these are businesses, and if you set them too high, they're going to say no thanks.
Right. Basically, economists will tell you there's a trade-off between the short-term return of license fees and the long-term return to the state in terms of tax rates. The higher the tax rate off into the future, the lower the investment that a developer will put into a place.
I want to invite our state lawmakers in on this as well. And Senator D'Alessandro, start with you. Just looking back over the years, we have talked about this many, many times before. Why is this so important to you, the expansion of gambling here in New Hampshire?
Well, first of all, Laura, I've been working on this for over a decade. You know, I feel like the Larry Pickett of expanded gaming. Pickett was, of course, the person who brought the lottery back to New Hampshire. I think it's important for a couple of reasons. First, economic recovery, job creation. We know what's happened to the economy. We know that private capital is very important in terms of an investment, and we know job creation is a significant part of our plan. Now, our original plan called for the protection of open space, the restoration of horse racing in our state, and something that had been around for 100 years. All of that has evolved as time has gone by. But the pressing need for economic recovery still presents itself a challenge to us. We need some private investment, and we've seen what's happened in Massachusetts. We've seen what's happened in Maine, and we're a very, very attractive site for expanded gaming. And as Steve points out, the Southern Tier is very attractive. It's a very attractive investment opportunity. And I think, along with some of my colleagues in the Senate, that this is the time when this can pass, when it can do something for the economy of our state, create some jobs for our state, and in a good fashion bring something that people obviously have thought about for a long, long period of time. But I think the economic recovery job creation aspect is the key element in our proposal, and we talk about a very significant fee, non-refundable application fee. We talk about a significant investment around the $450 million category. And we talk about a tax rate of 25% along with other amenities. There's the local option must be approved by the local community.
They get so you wouldn't put it someplace where people didn't want it.
Right.
So
right,
you're giving
exactly.
us sort of the bare bones, Senator yeah. D'Alessandro, of the bill yeah. that you and Republican Senator Chuck Morse are co-sponsoring for one big casino probably in the South.
Right. And we've talked with the governor, and obviously her sentiments expressed in her campaign and to us was she would support a one casino situation. Part of our bill also creates a commission that will look at further expansion if that is something that the state desires. I've always been in favor of more than one venue, but I think given the axiom of the day, we'll adhere to the axiom of the day. And for the first time in many years, we have a governor who will support the expansion of gaming, and I think that's the key element.
That's what's changed, yeah. In addition to the expansion in New England that Steve Norton
yes.
talked about. I want to bring David Hess into this, if I could, Senator D'Alessandro. And Representative Hess, what's the concern that you and many of your fellow House members have always had about expanded gambling? The House has been called the graveyard for gambling bills because they always die there.
Well, there's several things, Laura. First of all, proliferation. Nobody ever has been able to stop or slow down the expansion of gambling once the camel's nose is under the tent. As an example, Lou and Chuck Morris's bill create a commission to study expanded gambling. It's proliferation before conception is what the way I tried to describe it last year. And once it expands and it consumes the local economy, it consumes the quality of life here. I think John Lynch said it best last year when before the Concord Monitor Board of Editors, he said, "We have a great thing going here in New Hampshire. Don't mess it up."
Well, what would mess it up? I mean, if people want to gamble, they'll have an opportunity closer by. What's the harm?
Well, there are a number of harms. First of all, you have the increase in crime. That is well documented and is without contradiction. You have, secondly, problem gamblers. There's a difference that it varies maybe between 1.5% and 3% or 4% of all gamblers, but problem gamblers create significant social problems in their families. They lose paychecks. They go bankrupt, et cetera. Then you have the substitution factor. Gambling basically is a cannibalization process. Money that people would spend for other forms of entertainment, for going out to have dinner, going to the movies, going to see a professional hockey game. If the money goes into the casino, it doesn't go to any of those other establishments. And so you basically have a cannibalization of a limited amount of funds. The only time that gambling is a positive from an economic perspective is when it attracts people from outside of the immediate area, outside of the immediate market area. Once Massachusetts is up and running, and they will be up and running with 3 full casinos and 1 slot barn, the ability of a New Hampshire facility to attract people across the border will be significantly reduced to the point, I believe, with the current proposed tax rates that are in Lou and Chuck's bill, there will be no net economic benefit for New Hampshire.
Well, and I want to jump in with you, Steve Norton, and lots of things to follow up on for you, Representative Hess, and you, Senator D'Alessandro. But, Steve, just real quickly, how do you measure in dollar terms, and maybe it's not possible, how do you measure some of the problems that Representative Hess talks about, cannibalization, social costs, crime, problem gambling, problem gamblers, and so forth?
Sure. So in our analysis, we did a fairly complex assessment of the economic implications of development. And there are short-term in construction jobs and longer-term. The short-term jobs tend to be higher-paying and more economic development. The long-term jobs tend to be lower-paying jobs and less economic development for a community. It also tends to be located in a small area. With respect to social issues, there's a lot of literature out there which provides ways of assessing loss of productivity, increase in crime rates, and the
family breakdowns talks about.
And the costs of providing treatment to those pathological gamblers.
All right. We will talk a lot more after a short break, so stay with us.
This is NHPR 919. Good morning, and more on another roll of the dice for gambling in the Granite State on the exchange. Then attend on the Diane Rehm Show, Safety Concerns at Compounding Pharmacies. President Obama delivers his State of the Union speech tomorrow night. You can hear it here on NHPR, as well as a Republican response immediately afterwards. Coverage starts tomorrow night at 9 on NHPR and NHPR.org. New Hampshire weather, we have a winter weather advisory in effect across parts of the state for today. Support for NHPR comes from you, our members, and from the NEEF Network Organizations hosting Destination College, a college planning convention for high school juniors and parents in March. Information at destinationcollege.org. And from New Hampshire Telephone Museum, East Main Street in Warner, an interactive museum featuring over 100 years of telephone history. Information at nhtelephonemuseum.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're looking once again at the issue of expanded gambling here in the Granite State. Tell us what you think. Should the state add casinos to its gambling options or not? What do you think the benefits might be? What do you think the costs might be? Also, we've talked about the expansion of gambling in nearby states, especially Maine and Massachusetts. How much do you think that changes the picture, if at all, for us here in New Hampshire? Give us a call. Tell us what you think. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Email us, exchange at nhpr.org, or you can post a comment on our Facebook page. And we go now to Lincoln, New Hampshire, and talk with Representative Edmund Giné. He's a Republican state representative from Lincoln who has supported a casino in his region and another in the Southern Tier, so his bill is for two smaller casinos. Representative Genet, good to have you. Thanks for your time.
Well, thank you. Good morning.
Give us just a quick outline, if you could, of your bill, Representative Genet.
Okay, the intentions of my bill are to take care of a very serious problem, number one, that we have in New Hampshire, and that's our highway infrastructure and roads and bridges. In addition to that, we have up here in Carroll in Grafton County at the moment about 4,000 people that are unemployed. That, in addition to the rest of the state, as you can see every day, the jobs are falling by the wayside. People that I spoke to from Employment Security said that people that are getting jobs are getting them in Massachusetts, paying taxes down there, that there's nothing really up here. So my primary concern is that we take care of our people in this state, give them employment, give the state a new revenue source, and address our highway infrastructure.
And this is for two smaller casinos, right? One in your town and one in the Southern Tier. Is that right,
Representative? No, that is not true. This is not one in my town.
Okay.
And I'm not dedicating the township in the Southern Tier. Studies that have been done by experts at the time, and this is over a period of 10 years now, this is nothing new. We've had experts come in every biennium, and these experts, for some reason or other, shift with the wind. But for all practical purposes, based on the research that I've done and the expert testimony that made sense, two casinos in New Hampshire, because of the demographics of the state, would be an ideal formula for the best revenues to the state and for the best benefits. Now, I'm saying up here in the White Mountains, off from Route 3, and I'm saying in a border town along the Mass border.
Okay, so
generally because of the demographics.
Like that.
But it's not naming any town.
Okay.
Naming a town is counterproductive because people that don't want this won't have it. Entrepreneurs won't invest in an area where the studies don't show this is going to send them a return. So all of these things have to be considered.
Can I ask a quick question? Some of the research has indicated that building a casino in the White Mountains or further north is too far from any major population center to be worth the cost. What do you think, Representative Genet?
Well, I'm thinking people that are saying that are not too well informed, because if they look at the figures, studies that have been done by the University of New Hampshire, in addition to DRED, shows that we have over 7 million people here in the White Mountains that are spending average of $800 million a year.
Lots of tourists coming up your way, then.
That's right, because we are a recreation area, and that is the backbone. That is the only industry we have up here. And these people are here because of the natural resources that we have to offer to them. They're not here because of Wonderland Park in Massachusetts or any other facilities along our Mass border. They're here because of what we have, and they're not going to change. They're state and federal parks.
How do the tourism businesses, Representative Genet, feel about the possibility of cannibalization, which we talked about earlier, where, you know, people might have gone to visit Lost River, for example, and now there's a casino, so they say, you know, I think I'll just go to the casino.
Well, that's pretty much tunnel vision. That is not true, because the local businesses have not really expressed an opinion. New Hampshire, Lincoln has an article in the Warrant this year, particularly to address a casino, if it should be in this area. And last year, in anticipation, they changed their zoning to accommodate one, should it become a reality.
So the businesses are okay with it?
At this point in time, everybody seems very happy with it and very anxious for something to happen. Cannibalization is a term that's used by people that want to detract from the issue. This is not working in Maine. It's not working in Oxford. It's not working in Pennsylvania. And it has not worked in Atlantic City in spite of what they give you for testimony.
You know, you're in the House, Representative Genet, a body often called a graveyard for gambling bills. We talked about that earlier. The House has traditionally opposed these. What's the mood there this time among your House colleagues?
I've noticed that there's a lot of people now that are realizing that something has to be done. Of course, the mood in the House changes with whoever comes in. There's always new people there. A lot of people aren't familiar. They're not too well versed on what casinos can do, what their benefits are. But I think more people are very considerate of the fact now that we need to fix our roads. We need to fix our bridges. We need to put people to work. We don't need taxes. We don't need registration fees increase. And we're paying enough for gasoline. When the oil's up, the economy's down. So then I'm counting on them to be very prudent and to understand that they have to focus on the jobs for our people and the revenue for the state to accommodate what has to be done.
Okay. Well, Representative Genet, thank you very much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
That's Edwin Genet, Republican state representative from Lincoln, who, as we heard, supports a bill putting forward two smaller casinos, one somewhere in the White Mountains or North Country and another in the Southern Tier. We invite your questions now, your comments, your thoughts on whether New Hampshire should expand gambling in the state or not. Give us your opinion. Tell us what you think. 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. 1-800-892-6477. Or you can also post a comment on our Facebook page. And gentlemen, before we go to our listeners, a couple questions for you all coming out of our conversation with Representative Genet. And to you, I think first, Senator D'Alessandro, lots of bills in the past have supported two casinos, one in the south and one somewhere either mid-state or in the upper parts of the state. Why not this time, Senator D'Alessandro? Why just focus on that one big one down south?
Well, I think the reality of the situation is the governor has said candidly that she would support one casino. I mean, that's the first time we've had a governor support anything. So I think you have to go along with the wishes of the executive. I have always been in favor of more than one site. But we have to face, as I said, you have to face reality. And that site could be any place in the state. Our bill calls for an open bidding process, a competitive bidding process for the license. The license fee will be $80 million. There's a $500,000 non-refundable application fee. And we think at this point in time we'd get four or five applicants for the license fee. But I think the issue that Ed Mohn pointed out are still they're still very, very much in the limelight. We need economic recovery. We need job creation. The building side, the significant capital investment creates jobs for the trades, which are very, very important as we speak, and the long-term jobs for people who will be working at this site. And I think the fact of the matter is we are a tourist destination. Rockingham, if you use Rockingham, and you know there seems to be a lot of sentiment about the Southern Tier, the town of Salem will have a vote on their town meeting day as to whether or not to accept a site. They've had non-binding votes repeatedly, and they've been overwhelmingly in support of this. Other communities may do the same thing.
Okay, and David has a question for you. Representative Genet said cannibalization is not an issue. We almost seem to feel like that was something that's been made up, that doesn't happen, that businesses in the North Country support the idea of this coming in. They're not worried that their revenues will be sucked away.
If the North Country businesses support this idea, it's the first time they ever have in 20 years. The three major hotels, the grand hotels in the North, all are opposed to casino gambling in the area, even if they might be targeted to be one of the beneficiaries.
Yeah, haven't they been possible sites named
before
in years past?
They have been possible sites, and they haven't bit. They haven't gone after the apple. They don't think it's a good idea. They see a loss of revenue from casinos. They see a diminution in the traditional tourist economy resulting from it. And in virtually every place that casinos have entered, you have seen a loss of dollars being spent in the local economy for meals, for other entertainment, et cetera.
What do you think, Steve? Can you measure cannibalization?
Yeah, the literature is pretty clear that depending on the circumstances of the local market, it's anywhere from 20 to 60% of the new spending is actually cannibalizing spending from other places. So we had some estimates that we used depending. Cannibalization was more likely in the northern part of the state because most of the discretionary money is from tourists that are spending money on hotels and other things. So they'll spend it on something else, in this case, gambling.
I guess I don't really understand that it would be that big, Steve, because, you know, someone mentioned hockey before. Okay, if you're a hockey fan, you're going to go to a hockey game regardless of whether there's a casino nearby.
Right. If you have $100 and you're going to the North Country or anywhere else, you're going to spend that $100 and you're going to spend it on some combination of things that you like. And if you introduce something else that people like, they're going to spend some of that money on that. Where gambling brings the most revenues to a state is a place where you're importing people, new people. That's where you get a lot of the new growth.
Again, then, that's the argument for the Southern Tier.
Right. Oh, right.
All right. Well, let's take some calls, gentlemen. And some emails have just come in as well. We invite your questions and comments on this issue. Expanded gambling in the Granite State. Should we or shouldn't we? Let us know what you think. 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. And talking about the North Country, our first caller is from Littleton. It's Wayne. Hi, Wayne. Thanks for joining us. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. I just wanted to make a comment that I don't really think it's fair that a couple of areas, towns, or group of business people get to make all the money or potential money from gambling. I think it should be more spread out throughout the state, Nevada style, where you won't create these economic black holes and everybody would be able to share in the revenues.
So spread out how, Wayne? Like at grocery stores? I remember in Nevada, I was there a bunch of years ago.
They were
everywhere.
Yeah, grocery stores, restaurants, gas stations. If you can get a license and, you know, it's controlled by the state, they still get their tax dollars. What difference does it make?
That'd be a pretty big change, though, Wayne, for folks, huh? To have it everywhere like that?
That's the problem. It's probably too big. But I just don't think it's fair to make these small black holes in, you know, the lower tier of the state or the upper tier and the surrounding communities, like what happens in most of them. You know, they some low-paying jobs, and I don't even know if it's going to make a lot of money, but why not give it to everybody?
All right, Wayne, thanks for calling in. What do you think, David Hess?
Well, I think that's exactly the situation that most people would abhor. That would change the brand, the tenor, the quality of life here in New Hampshire beyond imagination. I would have to say that if you want an environment like Nevada, I suggest you go out to Nevada and spend a month or two there. I think you'll come back here and you really appreciate what we have here. So I would say that that argument, however, I should add, has been made in the past by libertarian members of the Republican Party on the extreme conservative side. They are strongly opposed to the concept of a state monopoly, a state-granted benefit to one or two entities that have a monopoly on this money. So that's an argument that we have heard in the past, and we're going to continue to hear.
Yeah, I remember one year there was an argument for liquor stores and the Grand Hotels. That was one of the bills. What do you think, Senator D'Alessandro? Wayne saying, look, it's kind of unfair to pick one or two or three places and let them reap all the benefits.
Well, I think he's incorrect in his assumption. Listen, the state will reap the benefits from expanded gaming, as the state has reaped the benefits from being a control state for liquor for years and years and years, and I think the benefits will be again pervasive throughout the state, and I think the proliferation of gaming into every location, I'm opposed to that. Always have been opposed to that. We should do a good job at what we put in place, good state supervision, and I think the economic benefits will be for all of the people of the state of New Hampshire. There's money going to come out of this piece of legislation that will aid in the development, economic development of the North Country, which is sorely needed. I don't think there's any question about that. We've lost job after job after job,
right,
you know, in the North Country, and the North Country is in terrible shape. I agree with that, and pumping some money up there to help economic development is a good thing. But
and as I understand, your bill with Senator Morse does include some economic development money for the North Country.
Yes, and that's important.
Wayne, there's your answer. Thanks for calling in. Steve Norton, did you want to jump in real quick?
People have been talking about two goals, one revenue, one economic development, and I want to put a little scale on it. So if we spend $1.2 billion in unrestricted general funds, we're talking about an $80 million license fee and, depending on the tax rate, $10 to $50 million worth of ongoing revenue off into the future. If you were to do a large $450 million investment in the Rockingham area, you'd generate about 2,300 jobs, and you'd create potentially an additional 4,000 new individuals with problem gambling. So that's the scope. That's what everyone's talking about. And when you do a net benefit calculation, you're trying to weigh the revenues that are potentially coming in with the costs associated with those new problem gamblers.
All right. Let's take another call. Wayne, thanks for that one. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Waiting in Portsmouth is Michael. Hi, Michael. Thanks for hanging on. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, yes. I have personal experience with people gambling, and I guess one example, I think the whole thing is immoral. I mean, one of the examples, my father-in-law actually gambled his life savings away, including selling his condo. But I mean, in addition to his, him losing all his money, his children has actually had to fund part of his gambling habits. And I mean, I think just the pain and destruction has caused in the family has been very, very high. And I mean, I've personally experienced my wife crying numerous times because, you know, because we also have to fund his gambling habits. You know, and I mean, the money that could have, you know, for us to invest in his gambling, we could have invested in our children. I mean, so, I mean, it has so far, I mean, I've seen the ripple effects. And it is a problem, actually, I mean, more so for my culture because I'm Chinese. And gambling has been pretty deep-rooted in our culture.
Wow, Michael. Well, thank you for calling. Some of the family repercussions that David Hess talked about. Senator D'Alessandro, what do you think? Does that concern you at all that you open up the opportunity for more families to be hit hard like Michael's?
Well, certainly problem gambling is something we think about, and we set aside money to deal with problem gambling. The question, Laura, is we have a lot of gambling in the state of New Hampshire now. We have charitable gaming. No one seems to be opposed to charitable gaming, and it's $100 to $150 million annual business. The state gets very little from it, and there isn't any money to take care of the problems associated with it. So I think in any case, you know, we have addiction across this country in many areas. Look at the addiction to prescription drugs. I mean, I want to talk about addiction. You talk about the number of deaths in the state of New Hampshire as a result of the abuse of drugs. I mean, that these problems have to be dealt with, and we, in our bill, attempt to do that. And at the same time we're doing that, we're creating some positive economic development for this state. Which
so you
we
set
need.
Aside a little money, as I understand, we set for
aside
gambling
money.
Addiction.
We set aside 1%. I mean, that's a lot of money. It isn't a little money. It's a lot of money, and it's something we don't do now.
You know, the same could be said, David Hess, for alcoholics. I mean, many people enjoy alcohol without being addicted. They can, quote unquote, drink responsibly. We're not closing down all the liquor stores because some people have a problem with alcohol.
That's correct, Laura. It's a matter of socialization, and alcohol has been a fabric in this country since before the founding fathers created it. We've adjusted to that. We've become used to it. But I
could
don't.
We do the same thing for gambling, as Senator
DeSantis says. Well, why do you want to knowingly and voluntarily bring additional addiction into play? Why create the additional problems? Why create the additional rending of the social fabric when you don't need to? Lou mentioned charitable gaming, but we have very rigid controls on charitable gaming so that you can't have the kind of economic malaise that Michael described his father went through. We have limited number of bets, a limited number on the size of the bets, and the games can only be played for a certain number of hours per day and per month.
Well, Michael, thank you for calling. Good luck with your family. And we'll take more of your calls in just a little minute. 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Email exchange@nhpr.org. We'll be right back.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members and Franklin Pierce University, a leader in adult education, offering an MBA in health administration. New term begins in March. Information at franklinpierce.edu. And from Unity Homes from Bensonwood, designed to improve the world by enhancing quality of life and reducing energy consumption. Information at unityhomes.com. Good morning, it's 9:40. This is NHPR.
I'm Virginia Prescott. Discovering new ideas often means asking the right question.
What was the question?
That's the best question you can pull out of that stack.
How can I help you?
Word of mouth. Unexpected radio for the inquiring mind. Monday through Thursday at noon and again at 9 on NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, the perennial debate over gambling in the Granite State. Give us a call. Tell us what you think. There are a couple bills to expand gambling options here in New Hampshire in the legislature this year. Do you think the state should go this route or not? 1-800-892-6477 is our phone number. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. And gentlemen, let's go right back to our callers. And Jim's joining us from Hanover. Hi, Jim. You're on The Exchange. Thanks for calling in.
A couple of brief points. First, the Rhode Island legislature. And Rhode Island has slot machine casinos, such as being proposed here. They cut the gambling addiction treatment program, which was a fairly well-renowned one in Rhode Island. They cut it to zero. They cut off all the funds.
Because of financial budgetary
concerns?
Because
of financial duress in Rhode Island. The second thing about addiction, before I get to my main point, is that only about one out of every 10 of these new gambling addicts that Steve talked about, only one out of 10 of them even attempt to access available quality addiction treatment services. So the addiction treatment services do not solve the problem created by the new gambling addicts. And finally, as to Senator D'Alessandro's bill, Governor Hassan promised just one casino. And during the campaign and afterward, she talked about a mechanism so that in the legislation, there would be some kind of guarantee by which the state would not wind up seeing casinos spread everywhere all over the state. This is what happens in state after state. Once you open the trap door, the Pandora's box, you wind up with casinos. Nine states now have them in gas stations, convenience stores, and bars statewide. It gets to that when the legislature needs money. Lou's bill invites more than one casino. So what will Governor Hassan do with this bill? Will she object to it? Will she insist that it be changed so that a guarantee mechanism be put into the bill?
Okay, Jim, two good points on proliferation, and earlier you made the point about treatment, whether, even if you do provide it, will they come to you first, Senator D'Alessandro. Jim is saying, look, Governor Hassan doesn't want proliferation. She only wants one.
Well, I don't think anyone who's in the business really wants proliferation. You know what proliferation means. Governor Hassan has said she will support one. I think the commission that's in our piece of legislation just looks at expansion, doesn't guarantee any expansion, looks at it, which I think is prudent. You should do that. And I think the safeguards that we have in this piece of legislation make a great deal of sense. And Laura, we need jobs. We need our bricklayers, our carpenters, our electricians. They need work. This proposal says you will spend $450 million of capital investment, private capital money. And we have competed for 100 years with New England. A place like Rockingham has been around for 100 years. There's ample evidence that this will be a positive situation, you know, for New Hampshire. And I think the same rhetorical remarks that were made about the lottery are being reconstituted as we speak.
And let's jump in there, if I could, Representative Hess. Yeah, what do you think? People have been making these arguments for years. New Hampshire hasn't fallen down. Other states have gambling. They aren't falling down. Maybe it's not so terrible.
Well, I want to make address Lou's point. This bill, for the first time, does require a minimum investment of funds, but
By private entities,
but it is not limited to just bricks and mortars. The $80 million licensing fee counts as part of that $400 million. The acquisition of the racetrack counts as part of that $400 million. That's probably $200 million there that isn't going to go into any jobs. It's just going to go into starting up the process.
Existing facilities.
So really, the idea that we're going to invest or somebody's going to invest $425 million in new bricks and mortars is not an accurate reflection of what's going to happen. The other thing is the amount of revenue that Steve has estimated that might come out of a $500 million investment is on the order of recovering that investment in 2 to 3 years. Now, the recovery is going to be cash flowing out of New Hampshire into the pockets of the people who are going to have the license and make that investment. They aren't going to be spending it here in New Hampshire. They're going to be spending it in Nevada or maybe in Macau.
And, Senator D'Alessandro, I got to let you jump back in. David Hess is saying, look, the economic benefits, you're exaggerating a little bit there.
Well, you know, I think beauty is in the words of the beholder. And obviously the negatives will promote the negative, the positives will promote the positive. There have been many, many studies. And look at, in Massachusetts, they had 11 people bid for those three items. In New Hampshire, we think we can get four. I think the positives far outweigh the negatives. This economic recovery job creation package is needed. As I said, all of the rhetoric that's now being articulated was the same rhetoric that was used against the bringing back of the lottery. We not only brought back the lottery, but 34 other states followed suit. So we can do it. We can do it well.
I think we have an opportunity that's needed for the people of the state of New Hampshire. Listen, we need jobs. BAE laying off 200. Layoffs in Peterborough, another 200. Brookstone laying off 75, 80 people. We're in an economic situation where our economy is moving very, very slowly in a positive manner. We need economic recovery. We need capital investment. $450 million is a lot of money, creates a lot of jobs, and that's what we must focus on. And
okay,
we don't
Senator
do
Alexander,
this without any consideration.
Let me just jump
population.
In here if I could, because we're getting close to the end of the show. And I did want to ask Steve Norton a quick question. Jim in Hanover, our caller, talked about treatment, and Senator D'Alessandro's bill does assign a chunk of money to help problem gamblers get over their addiction. But Jim said, look, in Rhode Island, they cut that fund due to budget constraints. Not too hard to imagine, given New Hampshire's history, of the legislature possibly raiding a treatment fund. I want to be respectful, Senator D'Alessandro, but I've seen this happen before, with other dedicated quote-unquote funds.
I heard Senator D'Alessandro laughing there, in part because we did establish a fund, a general fund funded, fund for alcohol and substance abuse addictions that, you know, is the perennial ATM, if you will, for, you know, the tough economic times. So there are examples of that.
Reggie funds have been raided. Tobacco prevention funds have been raided.
I wouldn't call it raiding it, but I would just simply say that the priorities of the legislature change as the economic circumstances change, and there's no reason to think it wouldn't be the case for this as well.
All right. Well, all of you, I want to bring yet another voice into our conversation. Joining us now by phone is Mary Jane Wallner. She's a Democratic state representative from Concord, chair of the House Finance Committee. And Representative Wallner, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Laura.
Well, earlier, one of our callers, I think it was Representative Genet, your Republican colleague from Lincoln, said he senses a mood change in the House. The House typically going against gambling bills. But he says, look, there's a lot of concern about our highways, our roads, our bridges, concern about jobs, concern about funding for higher education. Do you sense a mood shift in the House toward gambling, Representative Wallner?
No, I don't. I think that historically the House has not wanted to expand gambling. And as your program points out, and I think I walk away from your program with more questions than I do answers, there's so much conflicting information out there, and there are so many unknowns about what these proposals really do mean for New Hampshire, that I think that the representatives will be weighing this, and I think that they are going to come down on the side of this is probably not the way for New Hampshire to go. There are a lot of new representatives, and I'm sure some of them came in with already decided how they feel about this. But I think a lot of them that I've talked to really have a lot of questions, and I think there's a lot of unknowns, and I think that the House will hold.
You think the House will hold against gambling,
yes,
as it traditionally has. What about Governor Hassan, though? I'm sure very popular among House Democrats like yourself. She said, yes, let's do a single, as she puts it, highly regulated casino.
I think that a lot of people will be looking very closely at that proposal and, again, weighing that proposal and trying to make a decision. We've got a lot of work down there to do. I think this is going to take more time than we're going to be able to give it in the next several weeks. We've got a budget that's got to be put together, and I think that we're going to need more time to take a look at this program.
Well, and speaking of the budget, again, Democrats ran on a platform of, look, New Hampshire, we're going to restore funding for roads and bridges. We're going to restore funding for higher education. We're going to try and help families and folks with disabilities and so forth. Could these programs that Democrats like get valuable revenue from expanded gambling, Representative Wallner?
Well, you know, one thing I'm concerned about gambling revenues is that I really don't know that they are going to be reliable, dependable, and fair sources of revenue for the state of New Hampshire. Things I've been seeing are that this is a declining industry, and in many states they're seeing their revenues drop off. So it doesn't seem like it's a time to be entering into a new endeavor that is declining. So I think we've got a lot on our plate. We have a lot to work on. I did want to make one comment. I am concerned about adding additional social issues. We have not had a good record of keeping our commitment to alcohol, drug abuse treatment programs, tobacco cessation programs. Our record has not been good at keeping our commitment to those programs. So I am skeptical that we would do the same with a gambling program.
Well, Mary Jane Wallner, good to talk to you. Thank you very much
for your
time. That's Mary Jane Wallner, again, a Democratic state representative from Concord, chair of the House Finance Committee. The number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. Here's an email from Jack in Manchester. And Steve Norton, I think this is for you first. Jack asks, how many studies have been done on this issue? Why does there have to be so many redundant studies of the same question, i.e. the Executive Council recently approved a $3.6 million study on passenger rail in New Hampshire, the third such study in 3 years. We talked about passenger rail a couple weeks ago in the exchange, but his point is well taken. Haven't we looked at this again and again and again and again?
We have, but I would say we look at it each time because it changes slightly each time. And as Representative Wallner said, how those changes impact New Hampshire are real. And so a prudent legislator, someone who's interested in understanding the impact on New Hampshire, will try and understand what that means. Is it a $450 million investment or is it a $200 million? That's a very big difference when you're talking about jobs. Is this going to create 4,000 new potential gamblers, problem gamblers, or is it 1,000? Those things have real implications for communities and for the state. And so I think that's why they look at it every year.
So when you say there's changes every time, the proposals themselves change.
Right.
Also, though, as you mentioned earlier, Steve, the situation
market
in New England changes.
That's right. The two sites in Maine change the possibility of the North Country because they draw from a similar market. Changes in Massachusetts obviously impact the southern tier.
Yeah. And what about what Representative Wallner said, that gambling overall is a declining industry? People just aren't as inclined to spend their disposable income at gaming institutions as perhaps they once were.
Yeah, I think that's the growth in the industry has declined. The recent changes, I think, are a function of the recession and the declines in income. So people are just spending less money.
Yeah. What guarantee, Senator D'Alessandro, is there that people will spend as they did in the past? I have seen numbers that show that the interest in gambling is down.
Well, I think the economy is down, as Steve just pointed out. But gambling growth continues. There are people who enjoy this and who do it because of it adds to their lifestyle. And listen, a lot of people just go and take advantage of the dollars that they have available to them and gamble. It's a recreational situation. I think, listen, we ought to be concerned about the economy's down. Businesses are down. Businesses are laying people off. I mean, we've got to do something to replace that, and this, in my opinion, does that. It's an economic revitalization mechanism, private capital investment, and job creation. These are the things that I'm interested in as a citizen of New Hampshire. I'm not going anyplace. I'm staying in New Hampshire. I love New Hampshire. All of my children are in New Hampshire, and I think I wouldn't do anything that I didn't think was going to produce positive results for our state. I want a booming economy. I want to see our economy, you know, get going and moving in the right direction. Our business taxes are down. We know that. So listen, let's do something. Let's inject something into our economy that has a positive result. We have got to create some jobs.
And let me just jump in if I could.
We need some private money.
David Hess, a recent New England College poll says gambling support in New Hampshire is at 54%, 35% saying they oppose, 10% saying they're unsure. Does that sound like an accurate reflection of the public here in New Hampshire?
No.
No.
And it's not an accurate reflection of other polls that have been conducted over time by Andy Smith down at UNH and by many other pollsters. The result you get in these kinds of polls is based in large part on how the question is asked and whether it's tied in with other considerations. I believe the NEC poll, and by the way, I'm not familiar with the NEC doing a heck of a lot of polling, so I'm not quite sure.
They just got started.
Okay.
Relatively new enterprise.
I think their poll question was, do you like the idea of expanded casino gambling or something like that? I've only seen it as reported in the press. But let me just say one thing. Going back to jobs, aside from construction, the casino industry is notorious for low-paying entry-level jobs. The average job of a casino employee across the country is around $11 an hour. $11 an hour translates to about $23,000 a year. That is less than one-third of the median household income here in New Hampshire. And we think, based upon what has happened in other states and jurisdictions, most of those jobs are going to be filled by people moving into the area who are willing to accept those low-paying jobs.
Well, one last question, and Steve, I'll throw it to you. We talked earlier about lots of uncertainties as you tried to study this issue. You do what you can, but given the uncertainties, you can't say definitively. If you could know just one thing for sure that would help settle some of these arguments we've heard, what would it be, Steve?
Well, I think, first of all, what are the policy goals that we're really interested in as a state? Do we want it to be economic development, or are we maximizing revenue? We have to make that decision. If you're going to maximize revenue, there are certain characteristics of the bill that have to be there. Second, is it long-term or short-term? I think there are real concerns about whether you can count or think about counting revenues in the short term. So I think there first has to be real clarification of what our policy goals are in this instance.
All right. Well, all of you, thank you for coming in. Steve, thank you for being here.
Thank you very much, Laura.
Steve Norton, Executive Director of the New Hampshire Center for Public Policy Studies, which, as we heard, has been studying this particular issue. Senator D'Alessandro, good to have you. Thank you for your time.
Laura, always a pleasure. Take good care and have a great, great American day, you know. It's yours for the asking.
Thank you. That's Lou D'Alessandro, Democratic State Senator from Manchester, longtime proponent of gambling. And David Hess, good to see you as well. Thank you for being here.
Same time next year, Laura.
David Hess, Republican State Representative from Hooksett, and as we heard, a longtime anti-gambling critic. The Exchange is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producer is Ellen Grimm. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. Our intern is Faith Meixel. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The Exchange's executive producer is Keith Shields, and I'm Laura Kanoy.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you missed any part of today's program, listen to The Exchange anytime at nhpr.org.
I'm Laura Kanoy, and tomorrow on The Exchange, revising REGI, the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative. Under this agreement, power plants in 9 northeastern states, including New Hampshire, have had to cap carbon emissions for the past 4 years. Now, REGI officials want to lower the caps, making utilities tighten up more, but there's opposition to this in New Hampshire. We'll look at the arguments and what may happen next. Email us at nhpr.org and join us for The Exchange tomorrow morning live at 9 and again at 8 p.m. here on NHPR.